commentary on some of the, you know, cryptids, what I think is kind of interesting is, you know, the possibility of like the hollow earth fairy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things live, you know, there is a society inside the earth. Isn't there, I think there's a new show on that just started like last week that's kind of like on the hollow earth fairy where this huge hole opens up and people fall into another world inside of ours, and there's different creatures, odd creatures and stuff that's there. I think it just started on one of the mainstream.
I gotta check that out. That's interesting. It's kind of like Land of the Lost.
Yeah, it's like La Bra or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. It's on. It's like on ABC or CBS, NBC, one of them on Tuesday nights, and it was like this hole opened up in this city and everything got sucked down in there and it went into a different like world. And there's like you said, there's all these odd creatures that are living in, you know, in this society. And last week was like the first show. So I think tomorrow night's like the second one, but that's a possibility. I mean, the hollow earth theory has been taken very serious by, you know, Hitler looked into it. Stalin has looked into it. We have looked into it. So there's something to it where there's a possibility where there is another world, you know, and these creatures might be, you know, might be coming up. When Katrina happened in New Orleans, I had a lot of friends that were still in the military at the time and people who were in the military I was with and end up working for contract security companies that end up going to Louisiana. And they were telling me they were seeing these reptilian creatures that lived underground. And when everything came flooded, they came up and they were seeing these things, you know, run around Louisiana. And one guy said, I don't know if this is true. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but he said that was one of the main reasons that the guns were taken away from the people. Okay. Not the fact that, you know, they're going to kill each other or kill a looter or something like that. They did not want someone to shoot one of these things and it end up on the 6 o'clock news or they retaliate somehow against the civilian population.
That makes sense.
Right. So I don't know if that's true or not. It makes sense, but he was telling me one of his friends was out on patrol one night and they came across a group of them. And he said, they looked at them. They looked at us and we froze. Our bodies froze. We couldn't move. Our eyes can move, but we couldn't move. And when these things left and got out of the area, he said they were able to move. It was like somehow they put a trance on them where, all right, you're frozen. We're getting out of here. You can't harm us type thing. You know, it's just, I mean, that's crazy.
It's crazy, but it's not unheard of. I mean, you know, I got a report out of the desert, you know, right there. Once again, you know, in the desert, you know, and this was in, I believe, Arizona outside of Sedona, which is a weird place too, but in its own right. And I was told that there were reptilians there, and I've been told more than once that people have seen dogmen and reptilians in the same area. Even had a report of one chasing another, which was weird. It was odd, you know. These and if the reports were to be believed, you know, people saying that they see these things running alongside their cars, and it's just it's nuts. You get so many reports,
yeah,
and then you have to kind of sift through and take the ones that are you know. I know that one of the things that I heard from the Ivory Coast about these little crocodile people, and I say little because the crocodiles in Africa are huge, okay? They'll grow as big as their environment will allow, okay?
Right.
And so these little crocodile men, I forgot the name of them. They had like a little name like Kokomomo or Kokobombo or it was something like that. I don't want to butcher the name. And I'd have to ask a couple of my friends. They were actually Lebanese there were several Lebanese people that I knew that I used to work with, and they went back to live in the Ivory Coast, and I've known several that lived there. And one of them's cousin who came to visit when I used to work downtown at the nightclub, he was a really nice guy. He'd come in there, he'd just drink. He was real soft-spoken. And he had lived in Australia for a while, and we were talking about spiders. We're talking about the huntsman in particular. He had caught one. He showed me a picture. It was crazy how big it was. And then he's telling me, he goes, dude, there's spiders like way bigger than that in the Ivory Coast. And I said, wow. And so I said, you ever see anything weird? Like, and of course I was, you know, I'm a big dog man person because I've seen one, you know? And so I asked him about that, and he said, no, I've never seen anything like that. He goes, but when I was, you know, living in the Ivory Coast, he's like, there were these reptilian looking creatures. They their name basically translated to crocodile people.
And you know, I'm looking it up. It's very interesting. There's a crocodile man of
Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, Papua New Guinea, mm-hmm. And they have like a guy dressed up as one with the arms and everything, and you know, eating someone. And it's just, I mean, it's really weird that you know these things, you know. These people are not making this stuff up, man.
No, I mean, they grew up with it.
Yeah, they grew up with it. They knew, you know, they know these things are, you know, legitimate. They're the real thing.
They say that if you get too close to the water, that these things can pull you into the water. And one of the things that they do is they're really strong, muscular. They have like an upper body. With kind of short looking arms from what I was told, and they will drown you. They'll latch onto you with their kind of like snout, which isn't really long. It's just a short muzzle snout, but they'll grab onto you and they'll just hold you under the water, and then you drown, and then they eat you. And they run around in little packs, according to them. And I say little because they're actually about 6 foot tall. But when you think of how big Bigfoot and we're talking about the Yeti and how big, you know, Makili Mbembe, these things are small compared to them, and they're smaller than crocodiles. But what separates them from these other cryptids is that they're extremely aggressive and mean. They're very hostile. And if you're anywhere near their territory, they'll attack you, and they roam around in little packs, and that's kind of how they survive larger predators trying to mess with them, because they swarm. And supposedly where there's one, there's more than – there's always 2, 3, 4, you know. That's just what I was told, and I was told that by more than a couple of them. There was a buddy of mine who lived in the Ivory Coast, and he had a nice place, a ranch, and I went out there to visit, and he had two housekeepers that actually came over with him from the Ivory Coast, and they were natives, and they were always very happy. They were singing and just very friendly people. And one of them was she cooked, and the other one was like the housekeeper, and They would sit around, you know, after dinner and tell stories, and they spoke like French. Some of them spoke French that they learned from the Lebanese had a common language with them, and they would tell stories back and forth. And now they didn't speak English, but my friend would translate, and he would tell me, my brother, and some of our friends, you know, these stories. And one of them was about the crocodile people. And I can't remember what they were called, the Coco Mambo or something like that. I keep wanting to say that that's what it's called, but I'm not 100%. But anyways, it's not a real well-known story, but they absolutely 100% believe in it. And my friend, he believed that it was just like a mythology. Now, the other guy, his cousin, the one that came that lived in Australia, he said that he believed it was real and that their uncle had actually seen one when he was a kid, like, or a couple of them, you know, and they were outside kicking a soccer ball and it rolled down near like a runoff water area, whatever. And they told him, don't go, because those crocodile people live in that water. And if you go down there to try to get that ball, they're going to grab you. So he didn't believe it. So he's about 10 or 11 years old. He started walking down there near the water. And sure enough, he saw one come up out of it. That was supposedly his uncle, you know, that happened way back, you know, in like the 40s or something. But it's crazy when you think about it, like, people are going to dismiss it out of hand, like, oh, this is ridiculous. Well, it's ridiculous because you haven't seen it and you don't live amongst these kind of things. You don't have to deal with it, you know. You can sit at your house and watch TV and live in your comfort, you know, in your burka, you know, lounger, whatever, and you're not going to have to go out and deal with these things, you know. But there are people who have to live amongst these things, and it is a reality for them. Now, I know that kind of leading into something else here, switching gears a little bit, but you, the Germantown Werewolf, like, you did actually go on location and you interviewed people who actually saw this thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so for them, for those people, that's a reality, you know, like for, you know, not you, Jody, but like talking about someone in general, you don't have to deal with it. You don't have to, you're not going and seeing this thing. It's not coming up to your house. So you're just thinking, oh, these are just stories to be kind of dismissed. It sounds cool and it's kind of spooky, but, you know, whatever. But the thing is, there is the reality that there are people who live amongst these things that have to deal with these things. It's not a joke. You know, I mean, it really happens.
Yeah, I mean, there in Germantown, you know, Ohio, for a lot of people don't know, Ohio is flat land, okay? It's all farms, and we're dairy, pork, you know, cows, and corn, okay? You know, you go through Ohio. I mean, a friend of mine who lives in Texas drove through Ohio one time, and it's like, that's all corn. It's all corn, you know. when you go through a city, you know, and you're going up 75 or 71 going to the next city, I mean, it's all farmland that you see on the sides, you know, until you get into a small other area, and then once you get out of there, it's still farmland and corn and cows and, you know, all that other stuff. So, you know, Germantown was a small community, farming community, and it back in the 70s, it just started to expand. So they went into the woods and built these communities, these neighborhoods, suburbs, in the woods. And one of the first ones they built was this street called Butter Street. And this is in the 70s. And it went real deep into the woods, just one long street, okay, out of this small little community. It was the one that went like the farthest into the woods. So the people would see this creature, and they called it the Butter Street Monster, because it would always come on the street. It was either taking the dogs, the cats, going through the trash, looking through windows. The kids would see it. It's like they were told, you know, when they're out at night, you know, when it starts to get dark, get inside, you know, get inside. Don't be outside at night. And it was just something that everybody knew about. And it just got to the point where they call it, you know, now the Germantown Werewolf. This thing is bold enough. We talked to a couple women that were in a beauty shop getting their hair done on a Saturday afternoon in downtown Germantown, and they're looking up and they're seeing this beautiful dog look through the window. And this dog was standing, had his paws up to the window. They said, you know, it looked like human hands, and it's looking in the window at them. And they're like, man, this thing's beautiful. And then all of a sudden it just walks off on two legs, and they run to the window. They're watching this thing just walking across the road and head back into the farmland. I mean, those are the type of stories that you get. People are seeing something. They just can't make this stuff up.
Especially when you get a bunch of different people that don't know right. Each other.
You know, you get people that see things and they embellish because they're, I can't use, I hate to use the word embellish, but they're scared. And they haven't seen a thing before, because people know, you know what a deer looks like, you know what a bear looks like, you know what a cat looks like, you know what a dog looks like. But when you see something that, you know, you never seen before, and that's what pisses me off more than anything, where people say, oh, it's misidentification. No, people know what wildlife looks like. We knew it since grade school, what a zebra and an elephant looks like. You know, when you see something that you've never seen before, or you were never ever taught about, there's something unusual about that or interesting about that, however you want to look at it. There's something to it, and people remember that.
Yeah, you're right. One of the things I thought about when I was younger, and I had the encounter that I had, one of my distant cousins, she's like, I don't know how far away she would be, probably like a fifth cousin or something. It's pretty far out there. But I mean, she's really just a friend, but she saw, I think, the same thing I did. I think it was the same creature. I think it was the exact same identical creature, but she saw it in December, in like mid-December, and I saw it in October. And then my other friend, I think he saw it in December too. There were three people that saw it that December and only two people that saw it in October. I traced it back. But the legends and the stories go way, way back. You know, my great aunt would tell me about the carejo or the black dog, which I've come to know now that the black dog is a completely different deal than the hombre lobo. The hombre lobo is like in the Hispanic culture where I'm from, that is a wolf man. Like, right. It's half man, half wolf. Upper body looks like a man, lower body looks like a wolf. Well, some people believe, like the European people that came over and settled there, predominantly Czech and German, and they called it a werewolf. Well, the African Americans that settled in my hometown, that, you know, and some of them, like my friend's grandmother, had acres that they had since the Civil War, and they lived out, you know, on this plot of land for generations, and they had a bottom area, and they called it the haint. Now, she said the haint was it would look like a werewolf. And I asked her, and I called her Granny Bass. That was her name to me, anyway. And I said, Granny Bass, what does it look like? She says, let me tell you something, boys. She's like, it looks like a werewolf. She goes, you ever seen a werewolf on TV? And I said, yes. She goes, that's exactly what it looks like. And we were down there looking for crawdads at the creek. And we were told to run through the water, you know, not to go, to try to run in the stream as long as you could. And before you got out. Now, I realized what she was years later, what that meant was because this thing was canine and it would track your scent. So we heard some noises one time, and I'm convinced that it was something. I think it was one of those creatures, and I was just a little kid. Now, I didn't see anything, so I don't count that as an encounter because I didn't see it. I believe that I may have had a couple brushes with Bigfoot too. But I never saw it, except for one time when we were working security back in 2017, my wife saw the side profile of it, and she said it absolutely was a Sasquatch. I did not see that. All I saw was the back. And I, as far as I know, there were Hereford cows there. It could have been the side of one of those. And I told her, I said, I can't say definitively. She's like, I know what I saw. I said, I believe you. I believe you. Because something had spooked all the cows and they were all in one corner. So it would be odd that one steer or cow was right there by itself, away from the others. So whatever that was probably, I believe my wife, what she saw. She saw it very briefly, but it was weird because we heard them mooing and acting weird. And of course, you know, over here in Austin, they're building tract housing, and even on healthy farmland, they're building tract housing, which is absolutely ridiculous. But that's neither here nor there. But they're building it right up, abutted up to a farm, and these people had some cows, and you're going like right there in your backyard. Whoever bought those houses, they're in their backyard is a farm, you know. So there were cows there, and we heard some noises, like something like was going on. And then a couple days before that, one of the guy's horses had been killed, and they thought it was coyotes. And I was like, what? So I was talking to this guy, because one of my guards actually talked to the guy. And I believe it was actually Scorpion, that everybody knows who that is. He's been on the show. We were on the Travel Channel together, but I believe it was him that talked to one of the farmers, and that guy said, yeah, one of my horses got killed, you know, by something. And they said it was coyotes. And he goes, I know it wasn't no darn coyotes. And then one night I was out there, it sounded like a bunch of cows were being killed. And now, not too far from there, maybe 5 or 6 miles from there, I got a report of a person telling me that when they were kids, this happened back in the late 70s, that they found coyotes impaled on tree branches. in that same area, like, you know, it would be probably a few miles up the road, and they lived on a farm out there, and they said that there was a Sasquatch that was in that area, a very large, big one. He said that it was male. They knew it was male because they saw it, you know, and they said that they believed that it was killing animals, you know, killing dogs, and that they found coyotes, like I said, impaled in the trees. And so it wouldn't be a stretch to say maybe it was a Bigfoot. Now, I don't know because, like I said, I didn't get a good look at it, so I don't claim to have seen a Bigfoot. But I know what I saw when I was 15, and that absolutely was a werewolf-looking creature. I don't even call it a dogman because I really don't know what that is. Dogman, to me, was a term that was introduced to me by my brother who lived in Michigan for years, and he said, oh, yeah, that's a dogman. That's what they call it. That was the first time I'd ever heard that. So when we looked up Dogman on the internet, that guy's show popped up, and I was like, oh, okay. And so I contacted him about my story, and the rest is history. And then I ended up eventually, one thing led to another. Now I'm doing this, talking to you. Well, I never liked that term Dogman, because to me, nobody I knew in Texas called anything a Dogman. Nobody knew what that was. Nobody was calling it that, you know. They were just, it was either a werewolf, an hombre lobo, or a haint. It was, different terms depending upon your culture. And everybody just had a different name for it, but they knew what it was. There was something going around doing things, and there would be a little rash of sightings, and then it would go away for years. Sometimes it would go years, you know, and there wouldn't be nothing. Nobody would see anything. Nobody would hear anything. Nobody would talk about it. There was nothing going on, blah, blah, blah. And then there'd be two or three more, and then it'd go away. But I believe, and as weird as it sounds, I think there's two different things going on, even though I think they're related somehow. There's a legend in my hometown of the mariachis, and they were supposedly, according to a story that my great aunt and one of her friends that told me, I always thought it was a story as a kid just to scare you so you behave. But what it is, and I think I've talked about it on the show before, they sold their soul to the devil, and they became black dogs when they died as a curse. Now, there have been people in my hometown that have seen the black dogs. I and three of my friends saw a pack of them, and I believe that there was this guy walking with them that looked like a freaking zombie. We were just talking about zombies, but, you know, it's weird because he had hollowed out eyes. And I talk about it on my show. It's like, I think it's called Black Hellhounds of Taylor, Texas or whatever. But yeah, a buddy of mine, I used to box with him, Tony Duran. He came on the show and he talked about what he saw. And it was 2 years after I saw the werewolf looking thing. They looked distinctly different. They looked like two different things. And I got the impression that they were two different things. But I think that they may be something supernatural. For 29 years, I thought that what I saw was physical, and then I got some information that made me think maybe it was metaphysical. But I also believe that some of these things come from the inner earth, not necessarily the stuff that's going on in my hometown or in that region, but where you're at. And I believe all the way from, you know, Tennessee, Kentucky, I believe that there are entrances to the inner earth. And I really believe that the physical flesh and blood creatures come from the inner earth. And I've argued with people, you know, about that. And they're like, well, you have no proof. You can't do, you know, I can't prove anything no more than they can, you know?
Right.
I just know that if you look at it and objectively just look at it, and you just, you open your mind, not so far that your brain falls out, but you open your mind and then you look at the evidence and, you know, of what we've been able to figure out and ascertain, it makes sense. It really does, because Kentucky is like a hotbed for these creatures. Now, you've done a lot of research in Kentucky, and I believe that these creatures, a lot of them, do come out of that cave system. I really do. I think it's an entrance. I think it's an entrance to the inner earth. I think there's a lot of entrances. I think there's a lot of them in Alaska. I think there's a lot of them in Kentucky and in Ohio. I think that's why you get all these weird reports. Definitely here, right here in Austin, there's a lot of limestone. There's tons of caves. The entire downtown area, there's underground city into there, you know. But, I mean, I think that's where they come from. And I believe that they come from this area right here, and they travel outward, like from where I'm at. I have a theory about it. I believe that they travel outward to the outlying communities. And maybe that's where the ones near my hometown went to, because there was food and there's wilderness, you know, in the outskirts, you know, whatever. So they would prey on livestock, you know, and every now and then you'd hear about a farmer or a rancher getting a pig or a, you know, a cow getting stolen or a goat, you know, and I think that's what they did. I think they ate them, and then I think that they came out of the caves. I mean, we have in Georgetown, we have this big cave, Inner Space Caverns, you know, another 60 miles north of here or south of here. We have some more caves, you know, and they have a big old cave system, and I can't remember the name of it. We were just there like last December. And it's just big old inner earth cave system, you know? So these creatures, I think that's where they come from. I mean, that's one of my theories that I think that is very, very plausible. And I think that when you said that about the inner earth, that totally strikes a nerve with me. You struck a chord with me, I'm sorry. These things come out of it and they just spread out looking for food and then they go back to where they came from. I mean, it just makes freaking sense. And people, you know, they just cannot wrap their minds around that these things exist. And I'm like, man, one day you're not doing anything but driving down the road, you're going to see something. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, there it is right there.
Yeah. I mean, I talked with a deputy that here in Ohio that was going down a road, you know, one of these country roads and stuff. And he's seen this thing come out on the road and it picked up something off the road and walked, you know, into a field. It was on all fours. And he said, man, this thing, he said it was a baboon. He said, this thing was the size of a cow. I mean, but he said it was a baboon. You know, the creature that, we interviewed a guy on his deathbed who ended up dying of cancer that worked for the state of Kentucky, that saw one kill two people in 1979 at LBL. And his description of this thing was very much like a baboon style creature. It had the mane, the hairy mane on its head and, you know, neck area like a baboon does. But he said the face of it was like a hyena. Is the way he described it.
Wow.
When he first saw it, see, he was fishing, went fishing about 4 in the morning. He said it was about 7 o'clock. He decided to head back and there was fog out on the lake there. So he decided to go along the shoreline. So he wouldn't get hit by, you know, a boat, not being seen by a boat. So he sees his campsite. He sees a pickup truck. He sees a tent, you know, some chairs and so forth. And he sees this large animal on four legs. So he's thinking, well, it's a horse because people take horses down near the LBL. And he thinks, well, it's probably someone's horse. So as he gets closer, you know, he's seeing this thing and it stands up on two legs and he's close enough to the shoreline. He's able to see what this thing looks like. And, you know, he said it was dark, had arms like a human, body like a human, legs were like a dog, short snout, kind of like a hyena. But he said it had, you know, had high pointed ears, but it had like a mane. It looked like a hyena type, you know, type creature. And it was the most of the hair was just around the head and neck area and up on the back, like how a hyena is or how a baboon is. And the people are coming out of the tent. It was a young couple. And he's telling them, look over there, look over there. And they're looking at him like he's nuts. You know, and he ends up saying, you know, effing look over there. And at that time, you know, this thing's coming over. And he said, it just pounced on these two people. It was on top of them, had their each hand was on one of their chests and it was biting down on their heads.
Oh my
and God. On their face. Yeah. You know, he said he saw it. He goes, I urinated on myself. It scared me that bad. And he said, I passed out. I don't know how long I was out. My boat was up against a tree that was, you know, big branch and stuff that was down on the shoreline. My boat ended up hitting on that. You know, and he said, you know, I never said anything to anybody. He said, we all knew that we were not allowed to talk about what was there. We were not allowed to talk about it. So he would look in the newspapers to see if there was a, like an animal killing. He would kind of make small talk with people and see if they heard anything about an animal killing. And he said about a year, I guess it was about a year later, he was back down there. And he said the area where this campsite was, he said they ended up planting trees there. They blocked the road off. So he told us exactly where it was, the exact area. Drew us a map, said this was the area, this is the road. And we went up there and we found the exact spot where this happened. I mean, the road, you couldn't get back in the road because it had a huge mound that they just, of dirt and everything, they put to block the road off. And it's just like this big grass mound. So you had to kind of like climb over it, but the road's still there. And you can see where they cut in probably, you know, 10, 15 feet of that shoreline where they just took out where I guess the campsite was. They just came in and just hauled that area away. Because you like step down into a piece of flat earth. Wow. And then the shoreline's there. And it's just this only spot there. Not the whole rest of the shoreline's not like this. It was like just this spot where they just, and you can see the trees where they, you know, end up burying or planting new trees because the trees are still young enough. They weren't big because trees only grow like so much a year. And they weren't that big around, you know, maybe, I don't know, 12 inches or something like that, 10 inches. But you can see where they came in and it was the same area. And it was crazy. But what was weird was they put a road in that blocked the back part of the fishing area. Okay. There's like a pond there. Okay. But there was a bridge there before, and you can go under the bridge to get into this area where people go fishing. And you just, you know, take your boat out from under the bridge and you get back into the larger part of the lake. But now they have it blocked off. They just built a road there. So it separates both pieces of water, which is just weird for why they did that. But it's, you know, this guy, he described it as, you know, a very odd between a hyena and a baboon.
You know, when you came on the show and we had the whole thing with the LBL, and, mm-hmm. and we're not going to get into all that because there was a whole bunch of drama that went on. and Jody, you got a temper, and you know, and so you,
I don't have a temper. Here's the thing. I'm passionate about what I do, and
I'm just not faulting you for it. I have a temper,
right? But the thing of it is,
I do.
But the thing about that is, I researched that since 1987. Mm-hmm. Okay, I talked to numerous round of people. There's only probably about a handful of people that investigated it. Even C.J. Johnson, when he was alive, he investigated a crap out of LBL. Okay, not
you mean
one J.C. person.
Johnson.
J.C. Johnson, yeah. I'm sorry.
Good guy.
You know, investigated it. And we talked. I mean, he even was on our documentary we did on LBL. And if anybody would have heard about a survivor, he would have heard it.
Well, here's what I was going to say, though. Like, I know that things got kind of heated on there. And it was a very good series, actually, because, like, you came on. And then we had the guys from the Crypto Studies Institute, the late Johnny Henderson came on. And then we had the witness that supposedly saw what he saw. And then you came back and then Barton came on, Barton Nunley. And then it was just a very a week after week. And then Nick Valente cross-examined him. It was a good series. If anybody hasn't heard it, Jody was on there a couple times and it was the live stream that we do on Tuesday. So if you're not listening to the live stream, you're missing out because it was an entire segment about the LBL. That's why I don't want to rehash it because we've already beat it down to death. I mean, so, but Jody was very involved in a lot of the investigations going on in the LBL. And one of the things that I told, I think I told you this, not only on the air, but I think we talked about it off the air too. Like, you know, when I was in the early going, I would get reports, and instead of like going, well, I should just put that away into a one-off, which I did sometimes, you know, but when it, that just was not believable to me, I kind of dismissed it. Well, these kids had gone into the LBL and they were drinking and they were doing things, you know, they weren't supposed to be doing. And so I just thought these kids were, you know, they were doing, and that's, they were, you know, so I really didn't believe the one guy said, yeah, we were just kids. We went in there, you know, we were teenagers and we were messing around and we heard this like squawking, grunting noise coming from both sides of our vehicles. And next thing you know, we're getting attacked by a pack of like ravenous looking wolf monkeys. Okay, that was like literally the words he used, like wolf monkeys, and I'm going like, what in the, and so, and you may have already heard this, Jody, but I was like, this sounds so ridiculous, dude. Like, I'm reading it, you know, and you've probably done the same thing, and I hope that I'm not the only one guilty of this, but I was like, this is bull crap. So I didn't even finish reading it. So then the guy goes, hey, my friend can verify it, you know. So I saw the email on there, and I was like, So I talked to the late Armando Salazar, my old co-host. Unfortunately, he died of COVID about 3 weeks prior to this recording, and God rest his soul, just like Johnny Henderson. But I asked him, I said, what do you think of this? I'm like showing him. He's just like, this sounds like bull crap, you know. And we're both kind of just dismissed it because it did sound ridiculous, like – And at the early going, we thought people were trolling us too. So we were like, well, maybe these people are trolling us, you know? And so if we put this on the air, it could be one of those, we got you. We gave you some bull crap and you talked about it, you know? So we were very guarded against that, and we couldn't get the one guy's friend on the phone. So all we had was the one guy saying this story. And I'll be real honest, I was guilty of not really listening to his story. But then after I got descriptions, like what you just said about that story, and the descriptions that people have said that when they've seen these creatures, that's what they look like. And I was going like, oh, and, you know, it's one of those, I could have had a V8, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know. And so I told my wife, I kicked myself. There's probably about half a dozen things that I kick myself about when it comes to collecting stories that I've over the years, I've gotten better, at least with the show, you know, I've gotten better at like, you know, hey, this is something you shouldn't just dismiss, you know, because, case in point, and I'm not going to go too far off track here, but the gargoyle that was seen in Alamogordo, and then there's one that was seen near Dayton, Ohio. Both of them, and I call it a gargoyle. They didn't call it a gargoyle, but they were seen like, I think 11 years apart, something like that. And they were seen by two different families. One was a Hispanic family in New Mexico, and the other was a Caucasian family in Ohio. But they described the same thing, the same MO, the weird looking bulldog looking head. And the weird thing was they had like a chain on its neck. And I'm going like, what in the heck is that? That's weird. I've talked to one of the researchers who had a story like that. It was a winged cryptid. And they heard a rattling noise, but they didn't know what it was. They didn't see the chain or whatever. So I thought that right there showed me, okay, you cannot dismiss people's stories. Because what if this person was telling you the truth and then later on, you know, somebody else comes along and tells you a story? But it was kind of a weird time for PRT because we were still kind of in our infancy and we had been messed with. We had been bullied, mm-hmm. you know, by a few other, not you, Jody, you were always very kind to me and I appreciate that. You always were respectful mm-hmm. to me, but we were bullied in the early going by some other podcasters and some people. And so we were messed with. And so I was kind of apprehensive. I'm like, what do I do? I don't want to be made a fool, you know, by putting this story out there. And then, you know, people go, oh yeah, we made that up. Well, that was my fear. And it cost me because that story, I think, was real. I think it was legitimate. And the guy even said that one of these things had grabbed one of the girls that they were with and scratched the back of her neck and her back. And he was like, hey, we have photos. And I'm just like, I didn't respond. You know, and I'm going like, why did I do that? Because now you look back and you're going like, dude, this is, if you're out there and you're listening, please send me the information, because I'm afraid too, maybe because we kind of blew them off. They probably thought, well, you know what, why bother? And maybe they just never, that information will be lost to time. But yeah, it was him and another guy, and they said that they even had pictures of the guy's girlfriend who had gotten grabbed, and they literally had to pull her up into the back of one of the trucks and get out of there. But these things were, and they were like throwing bottles at them, just, you know, to try to get them away from them, you know. And they did have firearms. One of them had a firearm, and he was unloading it at them, which slowed them down, you know, which would you know, say that, hey, these things were probably a flesh and blood creature, not something metaphysical. But like I said, I think that these things come from the inner earth. And I think that that Mammoth Cave system in Kentucky, I think that's a big part of it. I think that's what's going on here, you know. And then I did get a story, which I thought was a lot more believable. And I think I told it on my show. I think it was the Devil Monkeys episode, where it happened in Kentucky. And these people were near a cave, the mouth of a cave, and these things came out at them, you know. And so I'm thinking, man, if only if I would have kept that story and not just deleted it and said, nah, this is nonsense. But, you know, and in my defense, and I'm not trying to make excuses for my bad judgment or whatever, but, you know, I think I've done a lot better in the journalist aspect since then. But I got a story from a guy from Massachusetts, or I mean, from Maine. And he had me going. He was like, oh, yeah, 2 days of dogman, like, stories. He was telling me, and he goes, I have all these stories about this interaction with this dogman. Then, like, the third day comes, okay? And I've been talking to this guy for a couple days, wasting time on this guy's story. He's going to come on my show and tell all this amazing stuff. Then he starts talking about – he just goes completely off into – La La Land, and starts talking about, well, this dog man was attracted to me and was trying to mate with me. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. So that was it. I was like, dude, okay. All right. Thank you. So that happens. And I know Nick Valente, our associate, you know, you and him have both expressed that frustration of dealing with these, you know, these accounts, and you have to sift through them. It's hard enough as it is. And then there's liars muddying the water, but then you have people who just want to mess with you.
You know, we got this one report. This guy went to go visit his mother in a cemetery, and he put the, you know, flowers down there, and he's talking to his mom, and about 15 yards in front of him, just walking through the cemetery, he says, there's this person in a cloak. You know, this gray cloak walking in a cemetery, and it looks over at him, turns his head, and he says it's a dog's head. He goes, this thing's a dog wearing this cloak walking in the cemetery. And I'm like, man, that's, you know, that's one of those, like you're talking about, you don't respond back. You know, it's like, man, that's crazy. 3 months later, in a different part of the country, this woman sends me an email saying that she was in the cemetery visiting a relative with her mother, and she saw two dog-headed people wearing, you know, cloaks walking in the cemetery. And then, you know, oh God, I can't remember how many months later, we get another one in a different part of the country, walking, you know, a dog-headed person walking. So I end up contacting and talking to all of them, and none of them are connected to each other. They're all different parts of the country. I mean, it's just, it was fascinating. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, what could these things be? I mean, could they be hellhounds? Because, you know, the hellhound, you know, its job was to protect the souls from the demons in the cemeteries. You know, maybe these things were hellhounds, and this, you know, they're protecting the souls in the cemetery, and they're wearing cloaks. Maybe they're able to walk up like a man. But it's just something weird. You know, you get crazy stuff like that.
Well, you know, go ahead, Jody.
No, I'm just saying, you get odd stuff. It's like, I remember here in Cincinnati, back in, oh, the 19, 1940s. From the 1930s going into the 1940s, I think up into the 50s, people were seeing what they called a pink elephant in the Ohio River.
Okay. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, a pink elephant. And what I'm sitting there thinking, a pink elephant. I'm thinking, and what would that be? I mean, that would kind of be like a plesiosaur. You know, if you think about it, you got the big hump and you got the the head. And elephants, when they swim, you know, they have the trunk up. And you just see the top of their heads. I'm thinking maybe, you know, what these people were seeing was a, you know, some type of sea serpent. And the skin tone color was almost like a pink or something.
Well, they're pink porpoises, too.
Yeah. And it was just, it's weird. But I found a picture of a whale that they pulled out of the Ohio River where one, I guess, came in through their the Gulf Coast or something and came up through the Mississippi, you know, end up coming into the Ohio River. And there's a picture of it where it's laying on the banks and there's this band, you know, getting his picture taken with this whale. So things are crazy. You can't shove off anything anymore. It doesn't matter how ridiculous it sounds. You have to follow up on it. You have to follow up because there's always some type of truth in these stories. And we live in a strange world where anything is possible. You know, anything is possible.
You know, my nephew came on the show one time. He lived in New Orleans for about 2.5 years. And he swears up and down that near one of the very famous cemeteries there, he was walking by it and he saw a shadow dogman. Mm-hmm. And he told the story of it too. And so, you know, what's funny, it's not funny, but like what's weird is my friend who was a DJ, he was living in Marfa, Texas at one time, and he'd moved out there because his girlfriend was very, I'm going to go out there and be an artist and blah, 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 you know, that, whatever. And so he moved out there and he was like, he was miserable. He couldn't wait to get back up here, but it's a beautiful area. My grandparents actually lived there for a couple of years, when they retired and then before they came back. And the operative word is, you know, they came back because it's like, there's nothing to do there. Eventually you get bored, but he saw two dogmen, that, in his words, okay, and I talked about this on that guy's show, they were play fighting, or it looked like they were kind of sparring, you know, almost like fighting, like men would fight, but they looked like werewolves. They weren't real big. They were just kind of like, you know, but his wife, which is now his wife, she saw them, and she was like, oh, my gosh, look at those two guys. And then they got closer, and they're like, no, they're dogs. What is that? And then they were like, they look like werewolves. Well, on that particular show that I told the story on, that's another one that I want to go back and give the entire story. And I want to give the story in its entirety. And so that is another project I'm going to do, whether I'm going to do it on the show or put it in the book. I don't know, but I haven't really decided how I'm going to do that. But there's a lot more to it than what was just on that show, because I was only allowed to talk about the physical aspects of what went on with them, because there was a lot more going on than just the physical dogman encounters. But on that particular show, he has a certain narrative that he wants, and that is that, you know,
yep.
Yeah, it has to be a physical thing. And there was a lot of weird stuff going on, man. And it culminated in something that happened during a Halloween party. And so anyways, at some point I want to get that story out because there was more going on, but it was in a cemetery. And then there's another story I told, and this is my friend Arash, who actually owns, three restaurants. He owns a bar. He's a really, really good friend of mine. We've known each other since 1997. It's a long time to know somebody. And we've been really good friends. And so we talk all the time. He's gonna come on the show possibly at some point on the live stream and tell one or two of his encounters. He's had two encounters. One was when he was in Lubbock as a kid. He was playing near a cemetery with another couple kids, and they got followed home, and he was messing with something like a Halloween mask or something. It was around Halloween, And he said that it was like, because it's weird that we became really good friends and we both had encounters around Halloween. And he's like, this wasn't no guy in no costume. People have asked me that too. And I'm like, no way, dude. It was like midnight for me or close to it. And this thing was down the ditch and it was digging. It looked like it was digging. And I'm going like, what is that? And then it stood up, you know, and I'm like, no way that there's a guy that big, that tall, 7.5 feet. And he's just sitting there in the middle of the night with nobody around and dressed like a werewolf, you know, in a sleepy little whatever. And so anyway, he saw this werewolf looking creature, you know, in the window, you know, the long story short. And so that's crazy because it started by the cemetery. They were playing and there was a cemetery nearby. You know, and so that theme, that theme of like Anubis, you know, he was the god of the dead. You know, he kind of like he, you know, that was his purpose. Cerberus, you know, he protected, you know, the souls could not leave Hades. That was his job to guard the entrance, you know.
Right.
You got that whole, and I've talked about this before on the show, you got that whole like death cemetery dogman, you know. It just goes, you know, like it's so weird. I know Ghidorah, you know, with Linda Godfrey, she wrote the book.
Right.
About that. Yeah. So you had that creature that said that, and it was in a cemetery, and a security guard came up on that thing, you know. It's very, very weird. I had a weird night in a cemetery one time when I was doing security. Didn't have a dogman encounter, thank goodness, but it was out in the middle of nowhere, and something very weird happened to me. And I think I've talked about that on the show too, but, the cemeteries can be a very spooky place or they can just very calm and peaceful, you know, but people do see weird things. I've had people tell me that they've seen ghost lights bobbing around the headstones, you know? And of course we've gotten reports of dogman type creatures coming out of balls of light.
Right.
Yeah.
Brian Skinner seen one. Brian Skinner is a investigator out at Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, Ryan. Actually, you mean Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan. I'm sorry. I
just corresponded with him just the other day. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Just I couldn't remember his name off the top of my head, but he was telling me that he saw one came out of a light that he saw. He was on actually. His story was on the Skinwalker Ranch, but they cut the part out where it turned into a dog man.
Well, of course.
Turned into a wolf. Yeah. So they cut that out. But I got to get ready to go here. I got to get up before it's almost getting on midnight here.
Yeah. So
if that's all right.
Yeah, no problem. And next time you come on, Jody, definitely want to touch on some of the stuff about the celestial aspects of dogman that you've heard. I wanted to get into that at some point.
Yeah, majority of our stuff, believe it or not, it's supernatural. I mean, there's a large supernatural aspect to dogman.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually more than flesh and blood.
Whether people want to admit it or not, yeah.
Yeah, whether they want to admit it or not, because these things are coming through portals. They're coming through different dimensions. They're communicating telepathically with people. I mean, it's just really weird with some of the stuff that's happening with this. And there's also some extraterrestrial aspects to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more we can get into.
And we'll do it again.
Yeah.
You'll come back. We talk pretty regularly, Jody. So we'll do it again. And Jody, I appreciate you coming on. And,
not a problem. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop the recording now, and I'm just going to say goodbye. So, folks, that's it for tonight with Jody Cook. I appreciate you guys listening in and listening to us talk about these fascinating subjects with Jody. And like I said, Jody will be back. He'll come back. Jody's one of those people.
And I won't get into an argument with anybody. And, you know, I have to say, okay, I'll be honest with you. You know, I allowed myself with the LBL and so with Roger, I allowed him to bring me down to that level, you know, that I got. That, like I said, the thing of it is, I was just so passionate about what I do. I don't hate the guy. I just don't agree with his story. And the reason why I don't agree with the story, because the research doesn't add up. And the thing of it is, people have to follow the research on stories like this. If you have a handful of researchers that has done research for 20 years plus on the subject, and if no one has ever heard about it, and someone comes out of the blue and says, hey, you know, I'm this, you know, this person, it just doesn't make any sense. It just, and there's a lot of factors that people don't know about this case that I know a lot. I mean, behind the scenes dealing with this individual and networks and stuff like that. But it's, you know, I should never allow myself to get down to that point, and it will never happen again.
Well, people make mistakes. I mean, we've all gone at and had everybody in this, the community's had a feud with somebody. If they say they haven't, they're lying. There's people that just, you know, they're just good at masking their feelings, but there's a lot of people that have strong feelings about everybody, me, everybody, you. So guys, that's it for tonight. We're going to call it a night, but thank you for stopping by, Jody. Everybody from PRT and Jody Cook, good night.